Welcome to Critical Drinking. I'm Kevin Regan.
I'm Ryan Maley, and if that sounded a little weird, it's because these are Keystone Originals.
That's right. They are Keystone Originals. Red cans.
Red cans are very hard to find.
Not blue cans, red cans. Not black cans, red cans.
They rival ice in taste, though.
They really
taste like Keystone. Oh, this is your first sip.
Oh, aren't you a rare beast?
Keystone Light at the beginning, pure ass at the end.
Wow. That tastes like you've just woken up after drinking the night before and you have that nasty taste in your mouth. That's what that is. Afterwards, though. Keystone it tastes
Light,
good going down.
Keystone Light, mouth. Yeah. See, I told you. It's not bad going down.
It's got a Keystone Light, you know, what do they call it? Like a Keystone Light nose, like wine, where, you know, your first is, it smells like Keystone Light.
Don't try to class this show up by mentioning
wine. Yeah, you're right. It's pretty bad. But hey, we roll on.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't even have a smooth moment on it. What's the point of this beer? Like, what is the point?
To sell at the Carver store.
Yeah. That's right, the point. Right below the Rainier.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Made with the Yakima Valley dildos.
Yep. That's where people pee and you bottle downstream. That's the Yakima Valley.
Welcome to Yakima.
But yeah, so this week's episode, it's a little bit weird. Episode 41.
Kevin got this idea because he saw.
So I saw Honey, 127 Hours.
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
That's disturbing. You could step on a kid.
That's true.
And that's attacked by an ant.
That's
and why do they have
no laughing matter?
Why do they have scorpions in their backyard? They look like they live in like a non-scorpion area.
Yeah, dude, it's crabgrass, not scorpion grass. Heyo. Anyways, I saw 120. Somewhere. Yeah, I saw 127 Hours last weekend, and it really. Like, I had the infamous by now scene where apparently people have fainted.
They're all old, though, that fainted. That's what they said.
But it's the scene
people where, fainted in The Exorcist in the theater.
That's true. But it's the scene where he's actually having to do the deed to get out of there. If you know what I'm talking about, or if you know the story, you know what I'm talking about. If not, I won't spoil it. But.
Oh, you spoiled it.
Oh, I'll spoil it. But I saw that, and I actually had a physical reaction in the theater, and I'll talk about this later, but. It was very, very weird, and so I was like, you know, this would be good, like a top five movies that make you squirm, like that just make you uncomfortable, that's hard to watch, that you have some sort of reaction to, like, not necessarily an adverse reaction, but an actual, like, it makes you feel weird, and just like, either, you're grossed out, or, that just doesn't sit well with you, or something like that.
Well, for me, most of the stuff I'll talk about is a certain scene in a movie because not really a lot of movies I haven't seen are make me squirm a ton, but there's a couple scenes and usually those are the ones I'm going to
talk about. And that's another thing is that,
cause like 127 Hours didn't make you squirm all the time. Did it?
No, yeah, it was just that scene, but it was, you know, it's so intense for that one scene that what you think about after
it leaves an imprint. Is that going to be
well done?
Is that foreshadowing?
Yeah. But yeah, it's like it's those moments in the theater that you remember because something made you just go either like
this,
you
know, Keystone Ridge,
or something like that. So we'll get to that. But
gives a banquet beer to run for its money.
Yeah, the item at hand now is the movie we're gonna watch. It's called Sallow or the 120 Days of Sodom.
This made in what, 75 or 76?
Yeah, this is an infamous movie. It is. I'll just give you a little background on it. It's made by an Italian guy. I think his name is like Paolo something Ferrassini or I don't know, but he's some director.
I bet you that's exact.
Yeah, I think that is. But he's an Italian director that took this material, which was called, it was a book called 120 Days of Sodom, written by the Marquis de Sade back in the 1700s, which was just like, it was, you know, banned. This guy was, you know, he's infamous for writing all of these perverse, you know, very, you know, graphic pieces of literature that, you know, people back then banned. Like Napoleon tried to get him murdered, but the two that he was, the two that he was going to get killed about were anonymous. The author, there was no author attributed, but everyone knew it was this guy. But this was apparently his crown jewel, was 120 Days of Sodom. He wrote it in 37 days while in prison for crimes of, you know, his other, you know, just perverse writings.
Like the most background information ever given for a film it watched is. On critical.
But that's
drinking.
Not even the that's not even it. It was an unfinished work. It was the first, basically it was a book that it was very, you know, very metaphorical and definitely a commentary on the time. But what it was broken into four, I guess, acts almost. And they got, you know, more perverse and disgusting and just, you know, incomprehensible the farther they went in. The first one was complete and detailed. The last three were just sort of outlined. And then he got transferred prisons. He thought they were lost. He wrote it on like a big scroll and he thought it was lost. It was eventually recovered. It's sitting in some museum in Germany now. But this movie is based on that book, and the director, you know, made it, kind of tweaked it and made it his own. It's supposed to kind of almost, you know, resemble like Dante's Inferno, where you go through four rings of hell, but they're four rings of this perverse act that, you know, these people put these
of
people
grossness.
Through. Of, yeah, definitely of grossness. The movie has been banned in so many countries. It was initially banned in Italy, you know, his home country. It was banned in Australia up until 2 years ago when they finally put out a ton of, you know, special features footage that kind of gave context to the whole movie. But when it was banned, and it was going to be banned from, I think it was actually threatened to be destroyed. Like the material was just threatened to be destroyed.
What?
And people like Alec Baldwin and Martin Scorsese, to name a few, actually signed like a formal legal petition.
Thank you, Alec.
To just, you know, back up.
He's giving us Paul Schwede, and he's giving us this movie.
Exactly. And they did that to,
and the
you
Edge,
know,
which
to,
is a wonderful movie.
To back up the Starting artistic. Yeah. To back up the artistic merit that this movie has. And it's considered to be one of the most disturbing movies ever made, yet also one of the most, it's like a work of art in the sense that it is an, you know, an allegory towards Mussolini, an allegory towards fascism, and, you know, this abuse, you know, abuse of power, how the commercialization of sexuality and, you know, all that stuff. And so it's, but, you know, there are some very, apparently very disturbing images.
I'm going to keep that in my mind when I watch this, but I'm mostly just going to see how grossed out I can get.
Yeah.
How disturbed I can be.
Yeah. But that, we thought, was a perfect fit. If you're talking top five movies that make you squirm, I could think of no better than this.
I only saw one picture from this movie when I was looking it up, and it was some guy getting like held down and pliers attached to his tongue, getting ready to get it pulled out.
Yeah. So it's very graphic, allegedly.
Looked uncomfortable as a picture.
Yeah. And so that's what we're in for. We got these Keystone Originals to keep us company.
I don't want their company.
But before we get into that movie, let's jump into first the poll results. Easy transition from
far.
Yeah, easy transition from here to Christmas
movies. No one's
voted
on Elf yet?
No. So our poll this month is, what's your favorite Christmas movie? The options are Home Alone, Elf, A Christmas Story, How the Grinch Stole Christmas, and It's a Wonderful Life, and then, of course, Other. Elf and How the Grinch Stole Christmas have zero votes.
How is Home Alone not there? I need to vote.
Yeah.
More than once.
Yeah, you do.
People vote, and I know that my cousin voted Other, he told me, and I just want to let him know that
TV movie.
Die Hard doesn't count, so because yep. We didn't put it up here.
Nope.
Except
Die Hard's not a movie about Christmas. Die Hard is a movie that takes place during Christmas time.
Yes, and it's really awesome, but still.
Yeah.
Whoa, that was a simul.
That was.
Christmas Story or Home Alone for me. That's tough.
Yeah.
Tough call.
Yeah, I know. Those are the two, well, those should be the two front runners, but they're actually, It's a Wonderful Life and Home Alone are tied in third place. And then Other and A Christmas Story are tied for first, each with 33%.
We still got a couple more. Or
yeah,
at
we
least
got,
not
we
a
got
week
a few
ago.
More weeks. And so go to criticaldrinkingpodcast.blogspot.com, vote in that.
And if you vote Other, I mean, tell us what it is.
Like Matt did, he said there was some 1984 movie about how Santa saved Christmas or something.
He wasn't being real, though. He was faking.
Because I was going to say...
He wasn't being real.
R-E-E-L. I was going to say that's ridiculous, and it's a made-for-TV movie, so...
The Star Wars Christmas special that was long lost until about 5 years ago.
That's right.
Boba Fett.
But yeah, so that's our poll results, but they're not... Once again, that's not... not closed yet, so go there and vote. Next to some feedback, we had a post that, you know, said, hey, this is what we're doing this week. What would be on your list of top five movies that make you squirm?
Oh, and my cousin said a lot of things, and some of them were funny, like the Jar Jar comments. But I don't know if I agree totally with all... I mean, it's...
Subjective.
Yeah, it's subjective.
Yeah.
Maybe the Black Hawk Down idea I'd be looking at, maybe. I'm a clan attack with an icicle. But squirm, when we're saying squirm or hard to watch, we mean in a gross way. Not the pain of seeing Jar Jar jump and be ridiculous and ruining the franchise. But
That's right.
He said no have a poopa.
But yeah, that was Maddie C's comments. We also posted a picture that I came across earlier this week that was perfect for this episode, because on episodes a while back, we had mentioned The Human Centipede, and Ryan actually just watched it today. But I posted a picture that I found online of a Christmas ornament of the Human Centipede. It's pretty funny. It's the figures of the Human Centipede with Christmas hats on. So you should go to our Facebook page and check that out. Ryan has already finished that disgusting beer, and he's on to...
You see what happens, Larry, when you fuck a stranger in the ass!
That's borderline inappropriate for this movie. But fun nonetheless, right? Because if this movie is as nasty and depressing as it sounds, we're going to need something to cheer us up. And I'm pretty sure John Goodman can do it. So
I watched Roseanne for him.
That's
Nick
right.
at Night.
Nice. All right, so without further ado.
Predictions. I just started number two.
Yep.
We got Pounders.
Yep. We also have a few regular cans.
And three Keystone Light cans.
Mm-hmm.
2 hours long.
Yep. Hour 56. If not including any stops we have to make, if it's
two regulars, 4 pounders. Yeah, I'll go with 6 total.
Whoa.
4 pounders.
Whoa.
That's not that bad. That's like one every half hour.
I guess. With 2 regulars. But I guess you already did the 2 regulars.
And then with people having gross poop sex or something.
Yeah.
I don't mean like anal sex. I mean, I'm down with it. The AS. But I mean like they're like attacking people with poop in this movie or something. I'm pretty sure.
They make them eat it.
Make them eat
it. I'm not even kidding. But hey, it's a metaphor for... processed foods or something. I don't know. There are a lot of excuses that people make for this movie to just represent the validity of its artistic merit, but we'll see for ourselves. Not that we're experts or anything, but we'll see if
your number three is gonna go so well, because I'm just gonna try to drown out the taste of these first two.
Yeah. So Ryan says 6. I have only done about half of 1. So I'm going to say 3 more regular cans and a pounder. So 5. Which, not too bad. It's 3 regular cans. I mean, let's be honest. They're regular cans. They're like half beers.
Just so you guys know, last episode, we were somehow able, not just episode, but throughout the night, Kevin and I finished off 23 pounders.
Yeah, we had 24. God knows why we didn't just
we
kill
just
that
left a
one.
Wounded. It wasn't even a wounded soldier.
Ooh, wait.
What?
What else do we have tonight that we might want to incorporate?
Oh, thank God, and by thanking God, I mean I'm cursing him, because a regular Four Loko, like a false Loko, a fake Loko, the new ones that came out, they don't have caffeine in it. I want to know what it tastes like. What is it, flavored booze, flavored beer? I don't...
Yeah. Is it like a wine cooler now?
I'm just upset, and I got excited because I thought I came upon a stash.
Yeah.
And I was about to buy, you know, all 20 of them, because I was like, oh man, I found the last Lokos. Wrong. The Asian lady at the front's like... All right, nope, not the same. Already tried it. I was like, what?
Not the same. She's
she already tried it. And I was like, oh, This is why I'm coming shopping here.
Yeah.
Keystone.
That's right.
Lady tries the loco.
Exactly. So should we incorporate that in there? Should we take a beer off and throw that in? Half and half? I mean, it's a red cup's worth.
Yeah, why the hell not?
Okay.
Five for me, four for you.
Yep. And then total of, well, partridge plus the half loco. Good work.
Well, I just put it in the fridge so it let it
freeze. We'll cap it off.
When we see something really disgusting, we'll be sipping on fake loco.
It's going to be a mess. All right, guys, we're going to go watch this, and as soon as we finish vomiting, we'll be back.
Bye.
Welcome back to Critical Drinking.
Oh, Nelly!
We just watched Sallow or The 120 Days of Sodom.
I just watched something that, yes, apparently it was a movie.
It sure was. Or so, allegedly, it was.
A work of art that people are defending it to be, I think, are just perverts. I think the people that are telling that, you know what, we need this in our society are like, well... You know, porn just doesn't do it for me anymore, so I need this.
Yeah, it was very
stop.
Weird. Okay,
let's get into our prediction results before we do
right,
anything.
That's right. All right, you predicted
6-5
plus the loco.
Yeah, so it came out to 2 regular Keystone Original 12-ounce count cans.
Yeah,
3 pounders, yeah, and half a new loco.
Yeah.
I got that and then one extra beer. One extra 12-ounce beer of Keystone Light because, yeah. So
He did.
But that loco was tough, and I'm going to let Kevin explain why he equaled me.
Yeah, so I had, I said 5, so 4 plus the loco. So I said 3 regular cans and a pounder plus the loco. I drank 2 regular cans, 2 pounders, and the loco. And the loco was lemon lime, and it was bright green.
It's a new flavor. It was the new loco. It had no caffeine, taurine, or boring.
Yeah. But I still feel like the, and like you were saying, Ryan, the FDA kind of, they overlooked the problem. The problem is 24 ounces of 12% alcohol by volume.
Man, this is such a problem. We got to take the caffeine out of this.
If I didn't know any better, I would think I drank a normal loco, and I'm feeling right now, I'm feeling the effects of a normal loco. I don't think the caffeine or any of that crap did anything. I think it's all the liquor.
Yeah, they literally made 5X Black Ice taste 412% better.
Whatever they're putting in it now that makes it taste not like shit,
yeah,
it's probably bad for you.
All right, caffeine may have been a problem for people that were like, you know, fucking signs or something when they're blacked out, but it does not solve the problem of that. This was literally still 12% and having a good time.
Here's my honest opinion. Loco isn't gone. It's back, and it's still ready to party.
For all you out there, you know what? It may not be blackout in a can, but it's
damn close.
Yeah, it's like two beers away from blackout in a can. That's...
You might have blacked out on 2. Yeah. Now you might just have to black out on 2.5.
Yep.
But it's a deadly drink.
Well, and then when you black out, you'll just pass out. Instead of the old locos where you'd still be going fully because of all the energy drink, you'd just be having yourself a good time. I don't know, but don't worry about it. Got it at the corner store.
That's right. You'll still be around. You'll still be up and,
You'll still be up, but then you'll also still be awake.
Yeah, that's right. This movie.
You see what happens when you fuck a stranger in the act?
That was.
Hey, that's my bad.
I'm just going to go ahead and hand that one on Kevin.
Loading the webpage. Sorry, Kevin. I might have to just chug this beer and open that one just for the punishment of that. But anyways, back to 4 Loco, the real important topic that we have.
It's the greatest topic we've ever brought on the show.
Yeah.
Besides the booby bump. The booby bump.
The booby bump was good. We'll talk about that, or talk about why it's not that in a little bit. But needless to say, Four Loko is still around. It's still... You're the same kids who were blacking out and yes. almost dying are still going to black out and almost
die. I bought two before the... Well, right when I heard the band happen, and I still have them in my house. As they're like my champagne.
Right.
And now we're going...
For a special occasion.
Yeah, we're going to the Natty.
Mm-hmm.
The Ducks are going to the Natty. I needed to open it, but I was up in Washington, so I couldn't open it.
Well, hey.
Pretty soon.
National championship. I mean, January 10th is...
Well, I almost brought one here to open, but little did I know that we could just have a fake one and get about the same taste.
Oh, absolutely.
Might as well play some zombies while we're at it.
That's goddamn right. Do a little better without the caffeine.
I didn't think about that.
No one thought about that. It's a good point.
Mm. Number five is what you're looking for.
I hadn't thought about that. Good point.
It is. No, it is.
Just play the Chris Hansen one, because you know what? I just need
to... I want to wrestle you so freaking bad.
I like your style, dude.
That's Sam right there. That is the...
Sammy E, dude.
Sam
Elliott.
Sammy
E.
All right. So anyways...
He played a brigadier?
Brigadier, huh?
A brigadier general in Gettysburg.
That's good. Aside.
Ted Turner, who has an awesome mustache by himself... Probably uses mustache roots to get Sam Elliott to play that role.
Will Forte is better.
Yeah, that's
Will Forte
true.
Is better. All right, so let's jump into this movie.
Damn sissy. Look at Ted Jr. Look at the disgust in his eyes.
Listen, we have beat around the bush and tried to stall enough. We need to get into this movie. Sallow or the 120 Days of Sodom. I'm going to give you just like a straight plot recap. Chime in if you need to. But the story goes that...
The plot recap has to be about a minute long. There's not a lot of plot.
No, there's not a lot that goes on. But at the beginning, you see four men, four very higher up, you know, like aristocratic men in Italy signing a document. And then they round up a group of basically kids...
18
ends
total.
Up yeah ends
nine
up
and nine.
18 it ends up being 9 and 9, but then it gets whittled down to 8 and 8. And what they do is they basically take them to this castle, and just they have, with the accompaniment of four
mistresses, I don't know,
four prostitutes basically, as well as four
madams,
yeah, madams, as
it.
Well as four military kids, still kids. Military guys, though.
Yeah, the soldiers, yeah.
The soldiers. And they group them all in, and the way they select the kids is they strip them down and select them based on looks and based on just physicality. And it's disgusting from the very beginning, and you can tell where it's going. They then go, you know, and Sallow itself is a very desolate town. It's got not much, you know, activity, and they're all brought to this one... I guess, castle, and what happens is they are essentially, or the four guys with the kids in a grand hall are entertained by the stories of the madams that are basically designed.
Chapter, and each chapter seems to be a theme of the, each madam's theme of their story seems to be what's going on.
Well, what happens is those stories are designed to arouse the four guys and excite them, and then the reason why they have them telling these stories is so that they can, you know, go off and replicate this stuff
on the 18 or soon
on the
18 be
16 like kids, basically.
Yes.
It is extremely just depraved from the beginning. But it goes on.
The stories themselves, I mean, hearing a madam talk about, and this is just the one that struck me because it was one of the first ones, just talking about how when she was...
Yeah, this is definitely explicit, by the way.
When she was 7 years old, and then was with her school professor and his friend, and his friend drank every last drop of her piss.
Yeah.
And look, I'm not trying to be gross. I'm just literally telling you in a nice way, actually, how this story was told. And this movie gets worse from the beginning, and this is one of the first stories you hear. So I'm just going to put it like that.
It's not ever, like, melodramatized.
Yeah.
It is just stated. Like, the way that Ryan just said, that's how it went, that's kind of how the madam described it.
Yeah.
That's just how it went.
And my professor's colleague really wanted me and gave me a drink to help me pee-pee. And after I knew it, he drank every drop of my urine. That's exactly how it stated.
That's basically how it was.
That.
And it's just disgusting.
It's definitely you don't want to hear. And then it gets worse because you know what? The pee turns into shit.
Yeah.
And I mean shit, literally.
Yeah. Poop.
It's just.
He called the shit poop.
He called the shit poop.
But.
Well, why don't we have that on our soundboard? That should be on our soundboard.
It's a good question.
I like your style, dude.
Yeah, it's a good question.
Got a scrawny rut around here named Dalton.
Yeah. But it goes on, and really you get like the four, like Dante's four circles of hell. It ends like the first one is, and I hesitate to say the most innocent, but it is the least depraved and the least like perverted. It is these obsessions. It is the circle of obsession. And the third ends up being the circle of shit, and the fourth is the circle of blood. And so if you can kind of get where that goes, the circle of obsession
literally, I know this is number two, but they literally eat the poo-poo platter.
Yeah.
There is, imagine going to a Holiday Inn, or for the Tualatin folks out there, the Sweetbriar, which is no longer around.
Right.
Going to the brunch, and they probably got a big, you know, one of those nice
like silver platter.
Yeah, you flip it open, and there's bacon everywhere. Well, you know what? It was filled with shit, and everyone's fucking eating it, and it is gross as balls.
Yeah.
I mean, it is bad. It is not.
Yeah.
All right, that itself is bad, but the fact that they showed five people afterwards, you know, cutting it with their fork and having themselves a nice little serving of it with the shit off their lips and their teeth.
I can say that scene, among others, made Moran and I both physically squirm. But it goes on until...
Well, I was telling Kevin that our training.
Yeah, this is definitely
our,
true.
Our two girls, one cup viewings that we have seen before while being a college attendee helped us because
that was probably the only thing that kept me from actually.
Well, I think it helped me because I knew that was, well, I didn't know, but it most likely looked like real shit. Like it looked like someone was literally eating a shit ice cream cone in that video.
Yeah.
So this, I mean, I'm not trying to do the whole I'm in a movie but I'm not, you know, thing.
Yeah.
I knew they weren't literally, you know, forking out shit into their mouths. So I'm like, all right, I've seen worse. This may look worse, but I've seen worse. You know, it's
Ryan actually in the middle of it goes, starts repeating, chocolate cake. It's chocolate cake. It's chocolate cake. It's chocolate cake. I just kept repeating it just so that it didn't look as disgusting.
Well, chocolate cake gets stuck in your teeth like that, you know? Like, I can't take it anymore. And you got shit in your front teeth. I mean, that was just bad.
Yeah. And it was pretty unrelenting. But by the end of it, this is basically a. Like a perverted.
It's a snuff film. Yeah. I don't even think they're. All the people that are trying to say that it's art, like, I know I can see the artistic values in it. The fact that they do every kind of grandiose shot as if it's from the wall of the room. You know, it's not specified. It's not focused in, but still, it's just. It's a wet dream for someone, and it may be a commentary on something, and I know, and I'm just not there yet. I just don't have the credibility or the grandiose idea of this whole, oh, it's really art, it's really art. To me, it's just a snuff film. I just can't.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, there are tits, hairy vaginas, and penis, uncircumcised penises everywhere.
Yeah.
And it's just, this may be art, but to me it's an example of people digging too deep into something and then making, you know, it's almost like, oh, this director made this. Oh, he's such a revolutionary. And the director's probably sitting there going, yeah, I'm a revolutionary. What do you, I'm awesome.
Well,
I mean, I can definitely see.
This director, though, whose name, Pier Paolo Pasolini.
Is that your one note?
That's my one note.
Yeah, okay, good.
He actually wasn't able to see the reactions or anything of everyone because he was actually murdered shortly before this movie was released.
Well, that's horrible.
Yeah. But there's probably no, you know, it's probably not a coincidence that it was right before this movie came out. Because this is something that does easily offend.
Well, I'm just amazed, not amazed, but I guess surprised, of the language they use. And I mean, it's all foreign.
Mm-hmm.
And not that I haven't heard it before. But as you said, it's, they're literally just using the language of a porn movie now. You know, like, and then he fucking felt my pussy and then entered me from behind with his big monstrous cock. And that's a, but that's what they say. And this movie came out in the 70s.
It didn't say cock.
It said penis. Never member. Said pussy. It said member.
It was actually, the verbiage was very, this will sound weird, but it was very PC for what they were describing.
Sometimes. I mean, they said cum a lot, but just because they didn't know that you could spell cum with a U then doesn't mean that it's PC.
Well, they said semen a lot.
Yeah.
They said, you know, because what I felt about this movie was that what they were, that the impact that at least he was trying to go for, at least I think, was he wasn't trying to over-dramatize it. He wasn't trying, he was just basically putting it out there.
He didn't over-dramatize it. And showing it. It's true.
He was just showing it. And it's disgusting enough just without even, like, just a scene, like you were saying, with a camera from the other side of the room. It's equally as disgusting as it would be, you know, it, like, the camera work and the direction and everything like that had nothing to do with how disgusting this movie was. It was a subject matter. And, I mean, disgusting, I'm not saying in, like, a totally, you know, this movie is has no basis being made, because I do agree that it is, it was made with a purpose, and it wasn't made just at, there was clear, I mean, if it was a snuff film, it would have looked a lot shittier. And if it was a,
well,
you know,
but I don't mean that as in it was literally just,
no, I know, but what I'm saying is that
someone, I mean that it was, I feel like someone had the power of making something that they were into, and then they made this movie, and that they could go ahead and disguise it as something that's,
right,
you know, this is a work of art. This right. isn't, you know, something that I'm going to get off to for the next 20 years.
Well, first of all, the movie was based on a book, which is,
yes,
as as much as I've read anyways, is, and I haven't read the book, obviously, but as much as I've read about it, is worse than the movie.
Yep, I've heard that as well.
And so it's agreed. Based on a movie, or it's based on a book that is just even nastier. Like, imagine what we've described, but, and I'm not kidding, with like 3-year-olds.
Yeah, no, I know.
It's,
like you
it's
said, it involved,
ridiculous.
It involved babies, right?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And then, so this, but this movie, and from what I've read, and I obviously can't speak to Italian politics or anything of the time because I wasn't around in the 70s. I wasn't anywhere near Europe or knowing anything. I still don't know anything about Europe. But from what I've heard is that this was a commentary.
It's a continent.
Oh, shit, it is. I'm smarter than a fifth grader.
There you go. You now know something about Europe.
That's right. But from one of the things that, you know, I heard was that this was a commentary on, you know, Mussolini's Nazi fascism in Italy, and the entire, it's basically a criticism, but to the degree that it disgusts beyond just a normal commentary. And it's the last thing I want to say is that it, because it's almost not like disregarding everything politically, this movie is almost also like a challenge to the anyone who's ever seen a movie, like just the public of, you know, like people. How much can you take? Like, how much can we push the boundary on what you can see in a movie? And it was, because it's just disgusting.
It is disgusting. And I agree that, like, the director's basing it off a novel.
Right.
Like, when I said snuff film, I meant the viewer qualities of it. Not necessarily
I agree. It did seem like a lot of it was...
what was behind it. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think when they just went to shit, like literally went to shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like it's just hard to watch. Not in a irreversible kind of way, which is a
foreshadowing.
Yeah, foreshadowing. Not like I can't believe, you know, I don't want to watch. It's just like a I mean, this could have been done with what? This could have been done with brains.
Yeah.
It could have been done with, you know, hearts. It could have been done... oh, shit, it was done with shit.
But does... would that give as much shock value?
Would
that
stir up controversy? No, it wouldn't give as much shock value, but that's what I'm saying is... I don't know. I'm just saying that I'm thinking it's snuff quality. I don't know if it's snuff behind it, because, you know, there's a lot... you know, it's based on a book.
Yeah.
A lot of thought into it, even though I don't know how shitty that thought was. Blah, blah, blah.
Wait.
Bah. I don't know. It was very offensive. I don't know if I was... there's never a part that I really... I guess besides the shit part that we talked about, wasn't a part that I really was like... oof.
Yeah.
I need to go ahead and take a time out.
I think I definitely, it was built up to me at least more than
I agree with that. I think that
because it is
a final scene of like something else would have equated to. I mean, it hit every peg of that beat up. Wow, whatever. Build up.
Yeah,
that whole time, but it just kind of it missed the knockout punch to me. But it was still disturbing. I think,
yeah.
And I was going to say that, but I think it's the only thing that could be on my list or is on my list that I would never wish to see again.
That's very true.
I never want to see this movie again. There's no desire ever to see it.
Yeah. And that's what I think is, that's the feeling I have where, and if I had gone and not heard a thing about this movie, rented it because it was supposed to be disgusting, watched it, because it was supposed to be disgusting, I would have. However, if I only because I had done some research on this movie,
what's the research say?
You see what happens, Larry, when you fuck a stranger in the eye?
Oh, it's so much saliva in that guy's mouth.
This is a pounder I opened up.
But the idea that, and like I said, if I hadn't seen anything or heard anything about this movie, I would just think it's totally gross and ridiculous. And why is this even out there? But I think the reason why a lot of countries have unbanned this movie, or whatever you would call that, is and only under the condition that they include the, like, you know, the material that kind of gives it context, which I... hopefully is what I kind of read up on, was gave me the context, is that this movie is such a, it's like a protest song times a million. It's like the worst criticism you could ever have about almost anything, because it is so depraved and it is so just beyond disgusting and beyond immoral.
Viewers, it's gross. Jaron knows. It's just gross.
Yeah, Jaron watched it before we did, and he said, I will never be the same. Like, this, and it's true. Like, this movie really is disgusting. And I think the boundaries that it crosses, regardless of what it shows and regardless of how graphic it gets, the boundaries that it crosses are extreme. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those movies, like you said, and I totally agree with this, that you would never ever want to watch again.
Yeah, because there is no redeeming qualities about this movie. There's nothing I want to go see.
But that, I think, is one of the things that he was going for, if I may. And one of the things that he was going for, in my opinion, and in gathering from what I've read, but this is still my opinion, is that he was trying to make a criticism of all criticisms that just pushes the boundary of what you can do with cinema, as well as what you can do in this time of, it's almost the end of Mussolini's reign, it's almost the end of fascist Italy, and it's like, there is nothing worse than this movie. I don't, in my opinion, at least I haven't seen it. Like, there is nothing worse in the history of movies.
Have you ever seen Dragonfly starring Kevin Costner?
Dude, that has got to have one redeeming quality. I hate that. That has got to have one redeeming quality.
What?
I don't know. I haven't seen it. But I'm just saying, that's got to have one redeeming quality. Or at least that is, like, this gives you reasons not to see it again. Or ever. This gives you reasons to not recommend it to people. I mean, like, really strong, you know, like, deeply moral reasons. Why you shouldn't see this movie.
I'm not a very moral person. I just don't want to see this again. There's just nothing there I want to see again.
Yeah, I agree.
I would say.
But I'm going to propose that we...
go right to our ratings.
We just skip right over ratings because I don't think...
Yeah, I don't think there's a rating. There's not a rating. If I were going to give a rating, it was that...
Barf Factor 7.
Yeah. As sad as it is and as gross as this movie is... I'd probably rather see this than Leonardo DiCaprio trying to be the aviator again.
So it gets a 3 or a 2?
It gets a 2.1 because...
Oh, God. But you're not rating.
I cannot. I'm not rating it, but I'm saying if Leonardo DiCaprio was the aviator again, I'd probably go see this movie and start crying than rather see that again.
Oh, jeez.
Fucking fascist!
Yeah, so I refrain from giving any sort of...
Well, rating. Let's go on to something else, yeah, then,
let's,
Kevin.
Let's go on to what we watched. Let's just get right over this.
Well, no, wait, yeah, what we watched.
Yeah.
Stop telling me names and giving me games.
Stop telling me what to do. You know Maz Roadhouse on FX? Stop telling me what to do. That
I'm close.
Bitch should never have gotten a TV show because she is...
To the edge.
Have you ever seen that?
What?
I think it's called Maz Roadhouse. It's on like FX or something. Where the old woman and the son like own a bar or something. And this lady cannot talk, yet she has a television show. And it's I wanna rip her throat out so that she can talk probably just the same if she didn't have a throat. Anyways, I'm gonna go first.
You wanna go first?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Thank you. The first thing I watched, I already mentioned, was 127 Hours.
I really want to see it. I didn't have a car this week.
Yeah. Ryan had his car in the shop. My
O2 sensor was out. Wow, look at that. Look at that bottom thing. That looks like some kind of ship.
It does. It looks like a satellite or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, it did.
Pikachu.
We peaked the...
Pikachu takes a shit. We peaked there the sound and... one shit.
And we made a spaceship. Anyways, I watched 127 Hours.
Two
I thought
shit,
it was really good.
Shit,
really, really
Christmas
good.
Tree.
I think everyone should see it unless...
I would like to see it.
Unless you were extremely... if you can't see blood or can't handle the idea of... what is it? Oh, cutting your own arm off. Don't see it. But if you can, then I would definitely see it.
I read the story about it, and that's what I think is so amazing, is that he had... Now, you've seen the movie, so I don't know if this is accurate, but he got a pocket knife that he got, like, for free with, like, buying a flashlight. So it was a really low-grade pocket knife slash Leatherman.
Yeah. No, it was not a Leatherman.
Yes.
It was a pocket
knife. So what he had to do was break his own arm. So he had his arm stuck, and what I read was that he just threw his own weight against... where he got stuck, and it's cracked in half, found where it was broken, used his nice little crappy pocket knife to cut through all the skin, got to the muscles, and was like, this is too tough, and had to use pliers to pluck his tendons because they're stronger than a knife, and that's how he got out.
Yep.
And I haven't seen the movie yet, but just hearing that makes me go, once he got to plucking, I'm like...
Thing is, though...
Need to see it.
The thing is...
And it's by Danny Boyle, well, which yeah. is...
That's all true. What you said was all true.
Yeah.
However, what you failed to mention was that he spent the first 4 days chipping away at the rock with the knife.
Yep.
Dulling the knife.
Yep.
So
and
was,
writing his own writing his own obituary on the
rock.
On the rock. Yeah. I need to see it.
So
what
it's
I really
great.
Need to see before that is Black Swan, which I want to see
Dude,
with
I want
every
to see it too.
Instance of my being.
That's true. It's very
because Darren hasn't made a bad movie.
Nope.
Him and Christopher Nolan haven't made a bad movie.
Yeah, agreed.
And Terrence Malick, but I'm not going to say that.
So, I saw that. I also saw Manhattan, which is a Woody Allen movie, which thought was,
Woody Allen. Woody Allen entered 95 and decided, you know what, it's time for
A mullet.
Toss-ups. That's what he decided, toss-ups.
It's time for a mullet.
Matchpoint, great movie. Matchpoint is a wonderful, wonderful movie.
The day he decided to stop starring in his own movies was the day his movies stopped sucking, in my opinion.
Yeah.
His movies are good, but he brings them down. I don't like him in his... At least, I mean, don't get me wrong. There are... He does have some great movies.
Well, he's in Annie Hall.
I Annie mean, Hall is a great
he's,
movie.
He's the person in
yes,
Annie Hall.
But... It drags after, like, every single character is the same in every one of his movies.
Yeah, he's
Manhattan
neurotic.
Manhattan was at the point where it was just, okay, Woody, it's... No.
I'm a neurotic person that could somehow afford what I'm living.
That's right.
You see what happens, Larry, when you fuck a stranger in the ass?
Ass.
So much saliva.
Next, I saw Fellini's 8.5.
I haven't seen it yet. This, I got it on my Insecure. I know it's one of the best movies ever. I just want to...
This is a beautiful movie.
Is it worth it? I mean, I know it's worth it, but... Insecure.
Oh,
if I'm just sitting there
easily.
With some McD's...
Yeah.
You know, Shredder sitting there meowing at me. Like,
I mean, don't just say, oh, I have 2 hours to kill. Let me pop this in. Give it, you know... Sit down when you're ready to, when you are in the mood to
what
watch
it. What if I got 2 hours
movie.
To kill and I'm ready to watch it? Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
100%.
That's what I mean.
It's the story of Guido, who is a director who.
Greedo?
Guido.
Greedo shot like, onto the first.
Like, Jersey Shore Guido. He's a director who's struggling to make his next movie because it's basically about him. It's an autobiography.
Smush, smush.
Yeah. He wrestles with how things are in his life versus how things should be or how he wishes they were and kind of how to capture those. While wrestling with this, he reminisces on how his, you know, he reminisces on his childhood and all the women in his life and, you know, the people who he's loved and lost and left and everything like that. It's a movie about the struggles of filmmaking at its core, and Ebert said that it was it is the greatest movie about filmmaking. I guess I don't know enough to say that it is or it isn't, but it is very good. It's pretty damn good. So I saw that. I recommend it to everyone who can handle subtitled Italian movies because
it's
beautiful and it's black and white.
I think we just watched a subtitled Italian movie.
We did, but not everyone out there might want to do that. I know. Our producer.
Look at that. It looks like a penguin.
Doesn't. Nice. Next movie I watched was Dark City.
I love this movie.
Ebert raved about it.
Said it was the best movie of the year, I believe.
Yeah.
Alex Proyas is a good director for two movies.
Yeah. I thought it was good. The visuals were really, really impressive.
What about the atmosphere?
The atmosphere was really, really
it's
good.
It's uncomparable.
Comparable. Yeah.
I'm educated. I graduate college,
and
folks.
I wouldn't be surprised if Christopher Nolan was inspired by this movie for Inception because it's very similar in a lot of ways,
and
especially visually.
And floating people, yeah.
Yeah, yep. But I think, and I think Proyas does a great job with this, but to me, it seemed like it was somewhere in between Inception, which I think was very, very. I think very calculated and intellectual.
You may have been somewhat hurt by seeing Inception. I might have, but
I think it was between that and between Batman and Robin, which was totally visuals driven. I think there was a great movie.
Batman and fucking Robin.
I think there was a great movie somewhere in this, but I don't think it was made how as good as it could be.
I think this movie. I think that movie is great, but I don't think of it as like one of the best movies of the year.
Yeah, but there was a great movie in there somewhere.
Yep.
It just didn't quite surface, but you know it was very good. Last movies I saw.
This is a great movie. I love that movie.
I saw Ryan's.
Can you believe? Hold on. Before you say this, Alex Proyas was rumored to direct Episode 2 of Star Wars. Can you imagine if that dark motherfucker directed Episode 2? It would have been awesome.
Would have been much better.
And then you know what ruined him was he made The Crow,
mm-hmm.
which is a great movie for all you out there. Absolutely wonderful movie, Dark City. And then he decided I'm gonna make Garage Days, which sucked. It just sucked. It was bad, and he hasn't done anything since. Well, he made iRobot. He made iRobot
most recently.
iRobot was good. What?
Knowing sucked. Yes. With Nick Cage. That sucked.
But iRobot had the chance of being okay, but then he decided that Will Smith and CG needed that. And I love Will Smith, but still. Yeah,
Jesus.
Will Smith is not announced.
Don't worry, iRobot 2 and iRobot 3 and iRobot 6 are all announced on Will Smith's in-development pitch. All
right, what's my favorite movie you watched?
I watched The Final Destination.
Oh!
I told you about that.
Yes!
It was awesome. It was terrible, but it was awesome.
Is that first scene not the best thing you've ever seen?
The tire scene. The tire is the best. The tire is the best. 100%.
Why are they still going around the racetrack while people are dying and they just fucking blow?
Dude, it's awesome.
And that girl's panties, she's got a nice butt, dude. Her butt is.
Dude, I was like, okay, is there anything after this first scene I should watch for? Like, is there a booby bump or anything? And Ryan goes, oh, there's like a panty scene. And then, like, 5 minutes later, she's topless at the pool.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, Ryan, come on, man.
Yeah.
you gotta give me a heads up.
I'm used to boobies. I mean, come on. I really enjoy boobs, but I'm more of an ass person. But the guy, he's, yeah. I finished 4 minutes ago. What are you doing? Like,
I'm just checking my Twitter or whatever.
And then he gets his anus sucked out, like Chuck Palahniuk style.
It's hilarious.
But is not that opening scene amazing?
It is really good.
Why do they keep on coming around the track and blowing up? But it's just a premonition. Don't worry about it.
They don't know.
I'm sorry.
Last four movies I watched. Apollo 13.
Last four movies?
Yeah.
Wow.
Apollo 13, which is great. Home Alone, which is awesome.
Home Alone is just...
It's on the list of best Christmas movies. Last House on the Left, the original.
Oh!
I watched it. It was all right.
That dick biting scene is fucking epic.
Yeah,
Mama Death is coming for that. I own that movie.
Yeah,
that part where you just see her go and just tear it up and spit it out on his dick.
Yeah, that's rough.
Wow, you may be the only person I know that has seen that.
Yeah, and then Eraserhead, which if we did top five disturbing movies, that's on there.
Yeah,
David Lynch's first and creepiest. Jesus Christ! I don't know what to say about it, except it's really disturbing. The last scene had me just freaking out almost. Like, I didn't know what to think. But that's what I watched.
All right.
We're pushing an hour.
My little what we watched. Watch Old School. I'm sorry.
Great movie.
I've seen that before.
Don't apologize ever for watching it. I'm just letting you guys know.
So I Married an Axe Murderer, which is
Mike Myers, baby.
I've seen it before, but hearing the whole poetic, whoa, man.
Yeah.
Whoa, man.
Yeah.
That was good. I watched.
It's like an orange on a toothpack.
Yeah.
Human Centipede, which is a very disturbing movie that's gotten really popular.
Human Centipede, great. Yeah, it's there. It's like Hostel Junior. Not that I think Hostel's
like novelty cinema.
Yeah, I mean, if I gave Hostel 5, I'd give this movie a 4. But the doctor actually played really well. He did a good job of grabbing things and acting like he was orgasming the whole time. I'm going to go ahead and say this because I want to see this so bad, and it was on TV Roadhouse.
Yes.
I finally saw it.
Yes.
And for you that haven't listened to it out there, Kevin goes, this movie's awesome. And then it gets dark. It does get pretty damn dark.
It gets dark, man.
Things blow up and people are drowning and getting their throats ripped out and people get attacked by polar bears and they aren't even alive. But it was good.
That's a fact. It's a great summation of that.
I really like this movie, like, a lot. I've realized that 80s just made the best movies that I've ever been out.
Yeah.
But sadly, I like Over the Top just a bit more.
No, easily. Easily. Over the Top is definitely over the top.
Do you
of this
have
movie.
The...
Yeah,
yeah,
I have
okay,
it.
Hold on.
Are you kidding me?
Way across the sky.
So good. So good.
All right, Kevin, hold on one sec. Can you play it again? Go ahead, do it again. Halfway across the sky. Da-da-da. Oh, man.
So good.
They are comparable, and Over the Top's just that little bit better. Just
really
because
is.
Stallone could fold Swayze in half. Sorry, P. Swayze. I know you're not alive. I still
love
you.
I hadn't thought
you.
About that. That's a good point.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mike G. Gundy.
What else you watch?
I watched a movie that Harrison Ford got nominated for an Oscar for. Witness.
Ooh.
Directed by Peter Weir. That guy's made a lot of great movies. Good movie. It was kind of silly. Viggo Mortensen's first movie ever.
Nice.
And Kelly McGinnis's titties. So yeah. I'm going to go ahead. Top Gun fans out there.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
They were ominously good. So we're going to go.
Top Gun fans out there.
I'm just going
Nice. Is that what you watch?
That's all I watch. All
right. We're going to take a little break, and then we're going to get into our top five most.
Kelly McGinnis tit scenes.
Yeah. Top five movies that make you squirm.
That's good.
After this. We're back. Welcome back to Critical Drinking. Ryan's slurping up the last of his shit beer. I mean, his poo-poo
here.
Platter.
You can get the booby bump when there are so many boobies around, and they're
that's
mostly
one thing,
being
sorry.
Forced to be
we,
naked.
We didn't mention that this movie because we didn't give a rating. This movie has boobs in it, but there is 0% chance. There's actually like negative 80% chance this gets a booby bump. It might get a booby bump down.
Yeah.
Because it is just... like, the nudity in that movie is so non-sexual, even though it's in a... Like, they are, you know, in the sexual realm, I suppose?
The boobies only came when the pain rained.
Dude, it's not good. But before
we
kick...
a great special moment.
That's right. Before we kick off our top five, we have a voicemail from Jerron.
One of our listeners.
One of our beloved listeners. I mean, you can't get better than Jerron. Let's be honest.
Well,
you
could be an Oregon fan, not an Ohio State fan.
That's true.
He's from Ohio, so he can at least...
That's true. We don't hold it against him too much. But he...
Well, like he's from Idaho and repping the...
Yeah.
Buck, you know, the
Buck Nasties?
The Buck Nasties.
Yeah, that's right.
Dude.
But yeah, he sent us a voicemail, and I'm pretty sure this would be his number one on his list.
Let's hear it.
Listen up.
3 minutes.
So, I just got out of my 13th shower since watching 120 Days of Sodom. I don't really even know where to start with this thing, but... took some notes while I was watching, and it seems like these people were just like zombies. They didn't really even know what was going on, and they were just kind of turned on by like doing the most depraved, psychotic things they could ever think of. They were very casual about it. Like, I don't know if you guys picked that up, but they were just kind of like, oh, well, you know, we're kind of hanging out, it's a nice day. And then the guy shit on my face and fucked me in the ass, and never saw him again. And so I thought that was kind of strange, too, because they're very nicely dressed up, and the lady's playing the piano, and the story seemed like they're going to be very charming, and they just never quite make it that way. And it's so weird, but I don't really know what else to say. Yeah, lots of nakedness. Some of the girls were nice to see naked before they had to eat shit or be scalped or peed on or bleed or Jesus Christ, what the fuck is wrong with these people? But yeah, a lot of naked guys too and a lot of turtlenecks, which is not very exciting, but I don't know, man. I just don't think they should be able to make that movie ever again. I hope nobody's tried to remake it. Can you imagine if, like, Focus Features took that on, or, like, Tarantino or something? That'd just be odd. The world would end. But in terms of, like, fucked up movies, I don't know. Like, I've watched, you know, Gummo and Julie and Donkey Boy and the weird shit that happens in Kids, and which Matt Conrad still needs to watch and still has, but that's a different story. This movie's like light years ahead of them, and it's unbelievable. Like, I don't know. I just am at a loss for words, and I'm sure that you guys won't be able to even describe what you've seen. But my prediction was that Kirsten wasn't even going to make it through the movie. Kevin, I give an 80% chance that he makes it. I think Ryan will make it through, but it's going to be rough. I don't know how many beers you guys are going to drink either. If you get over four apiece, that's because that's what pushed you through the movie. Because I don't know, man. I almost just stopped watching altogether and started crying, but then I thought that wouldn't be a good idea. Anyway, that's all I got.
Jerron, dude, great voicemail. Great voicemail.
That wins. It just wins everything. Because I agreed on the same thing after all. I was like, those are some nice tits. Oh, wait. They're doing some horrible, horrible thing. That's kind of confusing. There are a lot of... All right, not only are there guys' penises in there, but they are uncircumcised. Like, not...
They're not porn dicks.
Yes, they are not porn dicks. That's a great way to put it.
They're definitely just put out there as raw and disturbing. And I think the whole movie is disturbing.
Someone's got to get these prisoners a Bic. I mean, they need to fucking shave everywhere. Girls and guys. Jerron, that was awesome.
Yeah, for the record, our producer never was here. Because we knew for a fact that this was not a movie for
And we both made it through, but it was definitely an aid of beer that helped us.
Yeah, it was a squirmer. That's for sure. It was a squirmer. But thank you, Jerron, for that voicemail. It was fantastic.
Hold on, Jerron. Sorry, I'm going to go ahead and cut your thunder and do this. Sorry about that, Jerron. Because I'm doing
You this. See what happens, Larry, when you fuck a stranger in the ass?
Do you see what happens?
Jerron, I'm sorry. I just had to fuck a stranger in the ass.
Dude, but that...
Beat
thank
up my
you.
Porsche.
Thank you, Jerron, for the voicemail. If anybody else wants to leave a voicemail, we will play it. 509-43-DRINK. That is the number, 509-43-DRINK. You can find that on the Facebook page, anywhere else. Call it, leave a voicemail. We would love to hear
it. It could be anything. Like, if any listener just decided to call and say, I farted, and then just hang up, like, that would be on air. Don't worry about that.
You're damn right it would. Someone please do that.
Hold on. And before people say, well, I don't care if it's on air, we're on iTunes. Dude. We're cool.
iTunes.
We're so cool. Don't worry about that.
Intensely cool.
Someone could download you.
Dude, they could. You could be famous.
You could be famous because you farted once.
On Critical Drinking.
On iTunes.
Oh, sorry, on iTunes. That's true.
Stop listening and start parting.
Start farting.
So I'm going first, right?
Yeah.
We're going top.
All right, so we're doing top five movies that make you squirm.
That's why Kevin's here. For all the people out there that haven't listened a lot, I mean, let's be honest.
Hey, we do have new fans. We have like four new fans since last week.
That was going to be my shout out. 12 new people. Thank you.
Representing. Giving Ryan a good name over
here. Yeah, a couple. Yeah, three new fans. All you guys. This is something not out of the ordinary. We are hammered, and
that's
really every episode. So go ahead. What were you saying?
So I'm going to preface my list.
What? No, I'm going first. You're just giving
Okay.
You're giving me a
So the first squirmiest
videos.
Here's the intro. Is that this is the top five movies that make you squirm. This is totally a subjective list. However,
could be scenes, could be movies.
There are general guidelines where obviously it's not a comedy that you're squirming because you're laughing so hard.
Yeah, not it's Jar Jar, not that it ruins something like Jar Jar.
It's a movie or a scene that you were
grossness.
You had a visceral reaction to, and I know that other than laughter, you don't have a visceral reaction to movies really unless you think they're just gross. And squirming
like when I watch a lot of TV versions of movies that I've seen before, I get a little squirmy because I'm like, oh man, the awkward part's coming up where they're like, oh, I saw you with a picture with another guy.
Yeah, and that's not the squirmy we're talking about. Count.
We're not talking about awkwardness. We're talking about like...
We're talking about movies or scenes that you just don't want to watch or can't watch or things like that. So Ryan, you're number five.
Number five is one of my favorite movies of all time.
I know what this is.
Requiem for a Dream.
You just go ahead.
The movie itself is so disturbing. It may be one of the most disturbing movies I've ever seen. But the one scene that I will point out, and it's the most famous scene from it. Well, to me, the most famous scene is Ellen Burstyn pouring her heart out, which may be the greatest scene in cinema history by anyone that's acted behind a camera. But the other scene that I'm talking about is when Jared Leto, Harry Goldfarb, decides to, you know what? Fuck it! My arm's already fucked up to the point that it's all black.
Cut it off!
Yeah. No, not even the cutoff. The part where he shoots it up.
Oh, yeah, that's
like,
right.
Like, I need to get high, man. He just shoots a fucking needle in that black destiny of doom that's going on in his forearm session. It's just not going well. And Marlon Wayans encourages it, and it was bad. That's disturbing. The whole movie's disturbing, but
there's
that's the
great,
most disturbing.
Great performances in that movie.
I think everyone in that movie gives their best performance. That's what I'll say.
Yeah. I'm not sure Jared Leto gave many more performances after that.
Are you kidding me? He's in 30 Seconds to Mars.
Yeah,
he's almost at Mars. He's almost there.
I'm saying besides... You know, the music. Well, he was in Prefontaine, too, and I loved him.
Well, yeah, but did Marlon Wayans do anything better? No.
No.
Ellen Burstyn, who's been nominated for, like, 4 Best Actresses, that's not nothing better than that.
True.
Jennifer Connelly, I love you, but... And she won a freaking Oscar for Beautiful Mind.
Yeah.
But is that better than...
Not even close.
Back to back.
Not even
back
close.
Back to back. Nothing's better. Keith David's best performance, by sure.
Dude, 100%.
So that's my number five, and the most intense scene ever in Critical Drinking history. This movie going on to this.
That's true.
Great scene. Great, great scene. It's the best scene that I could ever see. But there were 4 better, so that's why it's number 5 on my fucking list. Yeah, yes, yes.
There you go. All right, my number 5 is a movie called Funny Games. It's a movie directed by Michael Haneke.
Did Seth Rogen direct it? Or was he in it?
No. It's called Funny Games. It's directed by Michael Haneke. He originally did it in 1997 I believe it was Germany. And then he did a remake translated to English with Naomi Watts and Tim Roth in 2008. I want to say,
and actresses on that one.
But this movie, it's bizarre. It seems like it's designed to torture the audience.
Every burp tastes like Loco.
That's a good point. I hadn't thought about that. That's a good point.
That Loco taste is number 7. That Loco taste is so... I really wish the Loco taste wasn't so. And.
All right. But Funny Games, it seems to be designed to torture the audience. The emotions it makes you go through while you're sitting there watching it are really intense, but that kind of speaks to the power of how good the movie is, because it makes you feel so strongly in certain ways. But the movie knows that it does that, and it's arrogant about it. And on the surface, this might be a movie that you think the characters are the ones being tortured. However, it's really the people who are watching that are being tortured. Haneke has said that the movie was designed to challenge American audiences that were sort of desensitized to the sort of hyperviolence that American movies, you know, are so quick to shell out. And it was designed to kind of show them a movie that depicted the true reality of just hurting other people, which is an intense feeling. It's not just killing and violence. It's it's actually one person doing harm to another person.
I've never seen it.
It's good.
I would like to see it.
Yeah, you should. Well, the original is on Netflix Instant. I recommend everyone go out and watch it. It's one of the reasons that this movie was actually remade shot for shot when it was remade in the English American version with Naomi Watts and Tim Roth.
You know what else was made shot for shot?
What?
Psycho.
That's true.
Gus Van Sant fucked that one up. Gus Van S, I love you, bro, but come on.
That's true.
He had Vince Vaughn as Norman Bates.
Let's yeah. But this
honest.
Funny Games, honestly, makes you question the basic tenets of the entire genre that it's going for. And at some points, literally, it breaks the fourth wall and it literally asks the audience to consider plot and construction. Like, flat out, looks at the camera and does it. And as it also makes you judge yourself for how it makes you feel in those situations. And I feel like it's incredibly well done, but it's so... It's so hard to, I guess hard's not the right word, but it's so very difficult to sit through that movie without just having some, you know, feelings. My number three has already been, my number four has already been mentioned. It's Requiem for a Dream. I think this is an obvious pick for this list.
That one scene is, if you go the arm cut off or the arm insertion.
Yeah. Well, the way this movie depicts drug use is not preachy at all.
I think it should be.
It's
I think it should be in every high school.
Yep, I agree.
Health class.
It's like the honesty of what it depicts is just makes you not want to ever do drugs ever again, or even fucking drink coffee.
Yeah,
for that matter. Yep. Like, it doesn't make you want to have any stimulant at all.
The American dream is gone.
Yeah, and it's because of how real the horrors of this movie seem. It's
how the dare physical. You call Ellen Burstyn a whore?
Horrors. It's horror sorry. Month.
It's
sorry. But I mean, Brie Olsen got in my mind. It's like it's the physical suffering in this movie. It's the psychological suffering, the paranoia, and like the desperation and the bleakness of this whole movie is just. It makes you squirm and makes you like it's just. It's like you feel weird watching it. It's definitely tough to sit through, but it's even worse to imagine actually enduring that.
Yep.
So that's my number four. Ryan, your number four.
Number four is a movie I've seen recently. It's called Salo.
Is that right?
This movie is everything on my list, probably the most disturbing content in it. And yeah. As you said before, I think that the thing that prepared me for it, you know, all the hype, makes me not as...
Yeah. Kind of desensitizes you.
It desensitizes me, and it doesn't make me as surprised for what I've seen. I still saw stuff that is way too graphic. And the things that got me... Some of the stories were way too graphic for me.
Yeah.
No, I've seen a lot. I'm not, like... I'm not very conservative in the views that I've seen ridiculous things before, but some of the stories they told were like, whoa, listen, homie.
Yeah.
And the things I saw, this definitely deserves to be on the list. And I don't know. I think that what I was told about it helped me prepare for it, which makes it not as shocking as anything I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of shocking stuff. Like, we both said we never want to see this movie again.
Right.
I have no desire ever to see it again, but there wasn't, like, a scene that, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
Like, oh, they cut the head off, and you're like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's my number four, and I'm going to go ahead to my number three.
Do it.
Number three was also my horror list. Watching this movie as a whole is...
Ellen Burstyn is not a whore.
Yeah. Disturbing as a whole, it's Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the Toby Hooper.
Tobe Hooper, yeah.
Version. There's some scenes in it that are just, you just squirm watching. You just don't.
Haven't seen it.
I know you haven't seen it, and it pisses me off.
It's not on Instant yet. Tell Netflix to get it on Instant.
I have it on DVD. You can instantly view it within an hour.
Let me borrow it. Tell Ryan to let me borrow it.
There's just some scenes that, I mean, the dinner scene is popular, and it's very, very squirm-worthy, and so is the last scene where he gets on his trophy little binge, but there's just some scenes where they're trying to, within that, where they're like, oh, hit Grandpa's head, you know, it's just, you sit there as a viewer going, no, you just need to back up a step, and that's kind of the idea of this whole list, and that's why it's my number three. So.
Good. My number three is one that's also already been mentioned. It is Salo or 120 Days of Sodom. The reason why it is on this list, like Ryan said, is because the subject matter is the worst I've ever seen depicted in film.
It's not... Well, it's hard to watch. It's not the hardest thing I've seen to watch, but what I'm seeing is definitely... the worst I've seen. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And it's not hard to keep your eyes glued to the television, but it's hard to imagine this scenario going on. It's kind of more mentally than visually disturbing, which, I mean, that's the same thing as kind of any real disturbing movie is going to hit you kind of at your core and not just visually, but this is not a movie that necessarily made me squirm as much as a few of the movies on the top of my list.
Yep.
It definitely made me squirm. I squirmed. And I mean, one of the things is that I feel like Jerron touched on, I hope this movie is never remade, because if this movie was ever remade, it would be in terrible taste because it would exploit.
Can you imagine if Eli Roth made this movie?
No, it would exploit everything just evil in this.
Well, my honorable mention should be Hostel. The movie's stupid. It's stupid, but it really gets at the point of this
movie. But this
it really relates to this movie.
Yeah, but this movie is very cringeworthy. It definitely will make you squirm.
But it's cringeworthy not because of something he's. I mean, there's some scenes where you're like, ooh.
Yeah.
But like some of the things they say is just like.
Yeah, it's just depraved and just ugh.
I guarantee half of this movie in my mouth is just like, all right. Like,
You're not squirming, but you're not squirming. In disbelief at how ridiculous. Exactly. Yeah. I agree.
It's just dirty.
By number two.
Let's hear it.
It's a movie we've mentioned before. It is Imprint.
Oh!
It is the Masters.
I own this movie.
It is
for the reason to show it to the house.
It's kind of a it's technically not it's like one of those, a movie. It was a made for TV movie. It was a Masters of Horror.
Yeah, it wasn't made for TV. It was made for a film festival.
Okay, it was made for, but I guess the viewing, yeah, it's true. Yeah, but the viewing public would see it on Showtime. It was made for Showtime. So, but Showtime said, oh, hell no. Because this movie is so disgusting. The whole movie is, I can't, because the whole movie's got like.
It doesn't even make sense.
It's got, it doesn't, you know, even make sense. It's got rape. It's got beating. It's got abortion.
they literally pull babies out of women's vaginas and just throw them in a river.
Yeah.
For like it's five disgusting. Times.
But this is one of those rare movies that actually imprints itself onto my brain.
Do you remember that?
Yes. No, listen.
Do you remember watching that as a
I remember exactly watching. I remember every single moment of watching that. I remember who was there. I remember
watching it.
I remember who couldn't stand it. I remember the reactions of people. And for me, like, especially the needle and with the fingernail scenes,
yep. Yep.
They were just incredible. Like, I could not watch. I remember my reaction. I ran into the kitchen and just shook myself off. But
they don't even do one needle in the fingernails. Every single fingernail has a needle, and that's foot and
yeah, and it's hand. Unbearable.
And that doesn't even match. It's just a woman randomly pulling babies out and throwing them down the river,
dude.
That's
terrible. That's my number two. Your number two.
I'm gonna go with my number two. Both my number two and number one are movies I both enjoy a lot, but these are the scenes that I'm just putting these as the scenes that are the hardest I could ever see. I just can't do it. My number two is Odd. I mean, it's not odd. I mean, no one out there like goes, oh man, I could totally watch that scene. But for me, for some reason, I just can't watch the scene. And it's Van Wilder. And the scene...
Wow.
Where the bulldog jizzes in the fucking donuts. And that's fine. I'm fine with that. But when they're eating it, and then it's all over their face. And they're like, oh, it's so tasty. I just can't watch it. I watch it once, and I just can't watch it again. It's nothing about my beliefs. It's nothing like, I can't watch it. Like, the first squirt they take when they eat those cinnamon donuts.
That's hilarious.
And it's just fucking spurts all over their face. Like, oh man, this is so good. What's this special? I'm just like, nope, I need time. I just can't watch it. So
that is hilarious.
The movie itself, I give, 11 out of 10 because Van Wilder itself is a great movie.
That is funny.
Imagine if someone else was Van Wilder, Ryan Reynolds, it would be a 12 out of 10. But that scene, I just can't watch. I just cannot watch that scene.
So does that ruin the movie for you? Is that just like, you can't, if it's on TV, you're like, nope, can't do it?
No, it doesn't ruin the movie for me because I think it's awesome, but I think it ruins... I think it's the only... I put it as the second thing on this list I cannot watch. I just cannot watch that scene.
That makes sense.
And number one...
Yeah.
Go to number one. It's something that I cannot watch a scene ever again because it made me actually sick. I cannot watch the Jackass scene.
Yep.
Where they take the portfolio letters and cut the webs in between their feet or in between their toes. It's the one thing I've ever seen that I can't... I mean, it's not even gross. It's not like they're puking or they're pussing out or shitting or anything. Like, I just cannot watch that scene. I watch it once and I cannot watch that scene. To me, it's been number one my whole life. Watching them just put it... It may have been better if they just did it, but the part where they're, they know that it hurts that bad. And then they just put that envelope on, his...
Steve-O or Chris Pontius or somebody.
That, and they just go, what? And, just pull it through and just like, oh my God. Like, I wanted to puke.
Yeah.
And I got a wonderful stomach. I mean, it's one of the best out there, ladies, just letting you know. But, that right there, I'm just like, no, that's my number one, hands down. And it's always been my number one. If I ever had to do it,
it's a good one.
It's my number one.
It's very good. It's very good.
Go ahead.
My number one, I have some explanation for this. It is the, I believe, 2002 movie, Irreversible.
Oh, with Monica.
Yeah, with Monica Bellucci. This is Gaspar Noé's uncomfortable, disturbing look at the death of humanity as told in reverse
chronological rape scene.
Yeah. It's got 13 total scenes in it, or 13 total cuts. One sustained shot for every one of the 13 shots, or 13 scenes. During the first half of the movie, the camera jumps all over the place. Vincent Cassel, who's actually in real life married to Monica Bellucci.
Yeah.
Maintains an insane level of hysteria, and the score is like never ending. So it's an unrelenting attack on all your senses, it seems like. The characters are out for revenge in the beginning, but because it's told in reverse chronological order, you see the aftermath first, And enter the scene where the dude's face gets smashed with a fire extinguisher.
I haven't seen it.
Oh my god.
Sadly, I've only seen the scene.
Like I said.
Which I've heard is the most disturbing.
Dude, yeah.
Let me say this beforehand before you keep on going. I heard the most disturbing part about this is that scene.
Yes.
But more disturbing is the amount of people that want to see that scene.
That is disturbing. I think,
and I've only seen the scene. Now I didn't do it out of being, you know.
You did it because it was out there. Because you would exactly, heard all this stuff.
But I mean, I heard that's what makes this creepy is that
it's not at all erotic.
Yes,
like the scene is not.
I've seen it. It's I'll get to that. All. It's.
I'll get to that. But gritty, the first thing I want to say is first in the movie is the.
I feel bad.
Yeah, is the fire extinguisher scene, and like I said, it is an uncut. Long take each time. So this isn't, there are no cuts. There are no, I mean, there are obviously effects, but there are no tricks with editing where you cut to the dude's face, you show the guy hitting it with a fire extinguisher, and then you show it again and it's damaged.
Yeah.
No, you see his face get pounded the entire way. And the guy hits him with a fire extinguisher maybe 20 times. And it is intense. It's absurd, like, just watching it. I had never seen anything like it. And it, I mean, it affects you because the way that they use just one long take, it makes it seem very real, and you just can't get away. Because you're not, you can't, like, rely on a cut or hope for a cut to get you out of it. You're stuck.
Because I've heard it's a crazy movie.
Yeah. It's made very real throughout the whole thing. I think the reverse chronology is what is like the precise reason why this movie works so well. But midway through, like Ryan said, there is the infamous rape scene that goes on for about 9 minutes. It is not erotic at all. It is very hard to watch. It is very uncomfortable. Every, like, while watching this.
As you were saying, I didn't know, as someone had seen that scene, that they don't. Cut besides those main scenes.
It's uncut.
And that's what happens. It's just kind of like if it was a security camera, a really well maintained good security camera. You know what I mean?
I mean,
HD, and it was just all of a sudden just right there.
Yeah.
It's just,
and the whole thing.
Uncomfortable to
this
say
is,
the most.
This is the. I mean,
say the least. That
doesn't
make sense.
While watching this, I felt angry. I felt dirty. I felt sad. And I felt disgusted watching it, and I felt like every single second it went on, I felt like I had to turn it off because it was so discomforting. But it's one of the most uncomfortable things I've sat through, and it's 9 minutes long. But at this point in the movie, this is, and you totally won't notice, but this is one of the first times in the entire movie the camera is still, because it doesn't need the movement of the camera and the uncomfort of just visually jumping around a room to make this an unsettling scene. I think that at the end of the movie, I mean, which is chronologically the beginning of the movie, you get a bombshell that, and this is a spoiler for anyone who hasn't seen the movie and wants to know the plot, you find out that she beforehand was pregnant. And it's like a totally fucked up version of a Space Odyssey, 2001 A Space Odyssey, just played in reverse. But instead of watching humanity evolve, you're watching time and humanity just devolve into complete shit and awfulness. And like, just, it's taking a swan dive to hell, basically. This is like, and it actually makes direct references to 2001 in the movie. But it's disturbing on so many levels. It's like, it's mentally, it's viscerally, it's morally disturbing. It left me really baffled. But on the other hand, I acknowledge that this is actually an outstanding movie. But it's really disturbing. And that's my number one.
That's a good pick. I've heard. I've only seen some of the movie, but I've heard good things.
Yeah.
I really like it if you picked your honorable mentions.
Yeah,
first,
let's do honorable mentions. So the first honorable mention I have
is... Do you want to do honorable mentions and shout-outs? Doesn't matter.
Yeah. HM, then SO. Honorable mentions, I got The Human Centipede.
Oh, I said... Wait, she can... I gave my somewhat...
What?
Review of that, didn't I?
Yeah. No. Yeah, you did. In what we watched. Yeah, you did.
Why didn't they use the phone?
Yeah, that's right. Why didn't they use a phone? It's gross right and disturbing. The idea is grosser than the actual projection of it on screen, I feel like. So yeah, that's why it's not in my number 5.
The fact that they were all connected.
Yeah.
Half the time.
The visual was still gross. My second honorable mention, which is not as strong, is Old Boy.
I haven't seen it.
There's a scene where he gets his teeth ripped out one by one, which is just hard to watch. And then later he eats a live squid, which is just weird to watch. And then
wasn't that fucking octopus that picked all the right World Cup
yeah,
games?
No, it wasn't that guy. And then
he was good. Now he's dead.
At the end, you figure out, oh yeah, it was actually his daughter that he slept with.
Oh,
which is just gross. That's my honorable mentions. I have honorable mention scenes though. These are the scenes.
I know. I use my 2 and 1 were both scenes. But
all right. So here are my scenes. Number one is a 1929 movie. It's Un Chien Andalou. It was a film I watched in film class in college, and it has a scene where a guy holds a lady's eye open and cuts across it with a razor blade. Ooh. And it is disgusting. And at that point, 1929, you can only imagine they had to either have a very real-looking eye or... Ugh. Next one is Syriana, where he's plucking off the dude's fingernails. Any form of fingernail torture is just...
That's why imprints on your...
Yeah, that's why imprints on my list. Next is Hostel and Hostel 2. Hostel 1, the one scene, is the scene where the guy gets his Achilles tendons cut. I can't ever watch that again, ever. It hurts just thinking about it. Hostel 2, it was when the chick cuts the dude's balls off with a rusty pair of scissors.
Yep.
I can't think about that or watch that because it makes my balls hurt. Next one is a little more mild. It's the recent Inglourious Bastards. The very end scene where they carve a swastika into his forehead. The sound and the... Oh, man. It's tough to watch. And then the last one I had, the most important, is Ryan's infamous paper cut scene in Jackass.
Oh, man.
I can't do that.
That's my number one. I just can't do it.
Paper cuts are bad enough, but... In the worst places.
On the webbing of your feet.
Yeah, worst. Can't do it. Ryan, your honorable mentions.
These are some great honorable mentions. Mine are not a specific. Let's say imprints, one of my first ones, because it's gross. It's just gross. Let's just put it like that. Underneath the fingernails, abortion babies getting thrown out the river. It's bad, but I'm going to put my other two in the same category. Already mentioned. Syriana and Payback.
Ooh.
Because the same thing. They tear off fingernails. Then Payback, they crush the toes.
Yeah.
Every time. I just can't.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
That's just gross. That's what I'm given. And that's my final honorable mention.
All right. What do you got for your shout outs? Obviously the Ducks. That's a co-shout out. Ducks winning a...
You go first.
The Ducks going... Okay, Ducks going to the National Championship is obviously a shout out to both of ours. My other shout out is to...
Not a beer.
My other shout out is to my grandpa, who is in the hospital right now. He's not doing too hot. He may not leave the hospital.
Everyone out there, wish for him or be behind him.
Yeah, definitely your thoughts and prayers are...
If you believe in God, pray for him.
Yeah. But he's in the hospital and he's, it's not a good outlook, but it's something that's kind of been building for a little while, so it's not a total shocker, but obviously it's a very sad situation and not one that anyone ever wants to go through. I feel bad for my family more than, anything and my dad more than anything, because this is the first time my mom has lost both her dad and her mom, but my dad hasn't lost anybody. And so this is going to be definitely hard on all of us, but, wish him the best. And hopefully, he makes at least a decent recovery and can come home and be home for a while before, it turns. But that's my shout out.
Great shout out. And I think we're all going to be thinking about him.
Yeah. Thank you.
A shout out, as I said before, was for those Walton people that are now
fans.
Now fans.
Yeah, that's right.
We should continue to be fans.
Tell your friends.
Last shout out for, I believe, the people that are Oregon fans. I don't think we could have gotten to the point that we're at without JT. And
that's true.
I ain't seen Franklin. I know you listen every once in a while, but hear him say, "We did it, JT," was one of the best moments of my life, and we're going to continue doing it for you.
Yep.
We all love you, all right?
Yep, that's
my final shout out.
Great shout out. Wow. Sorry to end this episode on kind of a downer, but it's very, very true.
Yeah, I'm going to go, we went to a little sad right there, but I'm going to go, because I watch 80 movies and see hot chicks, and I knew that JT would always be able there to reply going, "Yeah, that girl's fucking hot."
That's true.
And that's not what I miss the most about him, but something I miss about him, so.
I have, this might be in poor taste, but I have something that can cheer us up, right?
What? Halfway across the sky. It is great taste because you know JT would be like, "Yeah, that's fucking awesome." So, right. Hey, thanks for listening, guys.
Thanks for listening. We will get back at you next week, which potentially might be the Christmas episode.
Yep.
Where we watch Christmas Story. Poll. Yeah. Keep voting in the poll. So we'll see you next week.
Right.